The third Sunday of Easter, a reading from the Holy Gospel, according to John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. It was by the Sea of Tiberias, and it happened like this. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two more of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And they replied, "We'll come with you." They went out and got into the boat, but caught nothing that night. It was light by now, and there stood Jesus on the shore, though the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus called out, "Have you caught anything, friends?" And they answered, "No." He said, "Throw the net out to starboard, and you'll find something." So they dropped the net, and there were so many fish that they could not haul it in. The disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." At these words, "It is the Lord," Simon Peter, who had practically nothing on, wrapped his cloak round him and jumped into the water. The other disciples came on in the boat, towing the net and the fish. They were only about 100 yards from land. As soon as they came ashore, they saw that there was some bread there and a charcoal fire with fish cooking on it. Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore, full of big fish, 153 of them. And in spite of there being so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and have some breakfast." None of the disciples was bold enough to ask, "Who are you?" They knew quite well it was the Lord. Jesus then stepped forward, took the bread, and gave it to them, and the same with the fish. This was the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after rising from the dead. After the meal, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Look after my sheep." Then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was upset that he'd asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. I tell you most solemnly, when you were young, you put on your own belt and walked where you like. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and somebody else will put a belt round you and take you where you would rather not go." In these words, he indicated the kind of death by which Peter would give glory to God. And after this, he said, "Follow me."
Maria Valtorta writes, "It is a calm, sultry night, not a breath of wind. The stars, large and throbbing, crowd the clear sky. The lake, so calm and still, looks like a very large basin sheltered from the wind. There is a little group of houses gathered at the foot of a little promontory. They are poor houses, almost on the shore, certainly belonging to fishermen. Peter puts his head out of one of the houses. He comes forward as far as the edge of the shore. Zebedee's two sons and Andrew, Thomas and Bartholomew come and join him. Peter says, "I'm going fishing. Who's coming with me?" "We're all coming. Perhaps it'll be cooler out there," says Thomas. Peter is already preparing the boat with Andrew and James. "This fishing will remind everybody of many things," says Peter, "things that will never come back again." The boat slides on the calm water with Bartholomew at the rudder. Thomas and the zealot act as servants ready to cast the net, which they have already spread out. The moon rises above the nearby mountains, and the lake is illuminated by her rays, which trace a road of diamonds on the still water. They talk softly together for some time. Now and again they haul the net. A cascade of diamonds plays arpeggios on the silver of the lake. The net is empty. They cast it again. They move to a different place. No luck. And hours go by. "You on the boat, have you anything to eat?" shouts a man's voice from the shore. It is a voice that startles them. But they shrug their shoulders, replying in a loud voice, "No!" Then they say to one another, "We always seem to be hearing him." "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll find them." The right-hand side is offshore. They cast the net rather perplexedly. The net jerks with weight that makes the boat bend on the side where the net hangs. "But that is the Lord," shouts John. "The Lord, are you sure?" asks Peter. "Do you doubt it?" says John. "We thought it was his voice, but this is the proof of it. Look at the net. It's like that time. I tell you that it is he. Oh, my Jesus, where are you?" They fasten the net safely to drag it in the wake of the boat. They peer through the veils of fog and they row back to shore. But Thomas has to take Peter's oar because Peter, after hurriedly slipping his short tunic over his very short trousers, jumps into the calm water and swims with vigorous strokes ahead of the boat. He is the first to set foot on the little beach where on two stones sheltered by a thorny bush a fire of dry twigs is blazing, and near the fire there is a smiling and gentle Jesus. "Lord, Lord!" Peter is breathless because of his emotion and is unable to say anything else. Dripping wet, he dare not even touch the tunic of his Jesus, and prostrated on the sand with his tunic sticking to him, he adores. The boat rubs on the pebbly shore and stops. The apostles are all standing, excited with joy. "Bring some of those fish here," says Jesus. "The fire is ready. Come and have something to eat." Peter runs to the boat and helps the others to lift the net. He gets hold of three big wriggling fish, beats them on the gunwale of the boat to kill them, and guts them with his knife. His hands shake, but oh, not with cold. He rinses the fish, puts them on the fire, and watches them cooking. The others are worshipping the Lord a little away from him, and timid, as always, of him who has risen so divinely powerful. Jesus then speaks, "Here you are, here is the bread. You've worked all night and you're tired, so now you will take some refreshment. Is it ready, Peter?" "Yes, my Lord," says Peter, bent over the fire with a voice that is more hoarse than usual. He wipes his eyes, which are wet with tears, as if the smoke made them weep, irritating them, and his throat at the same time. but it is not the smoke that is the cause of that voice and of those tears. He takes the fish, which he has laid on a rough leaf handed to him by Andrew, after he had rinsed it in the lake. Jesus offers and blesses. He breaks the bread and the fish, making 8 portions, which he hands out, and he tastes some as well. They eat with the respect which would fulfill a ceremony. Jesus looks at them and smiles, but he is also silent until he asks, "Where are the others?" "On the mountain," is the reply, "where you said, 'We came to fish because we have no more money and we don't want to take advantage of the disciples.'" "You're doing the right thing," says Jesus. "But from now on, you apostles must stay on the mountain in prayer, edifying the disciples with your example. Send them fishing. It is better for you to remain there in prayer and to listen to those who are in need of advice or who may come to give you information. Keep the disciples in a very united group. I will come soon." "We'll do that, Lord," is the reply. There is silence. Then Jesus, whose head had been bent a little, thinking, looks up and fixes his eyes on Peter. He looks at him with the glance of the moments when he worked the greatest miracles or was most authoritative. Peter is startled, almost frightened, and he withdraws a little. But Jesus, laying a hand on Peter's shoulder, holds it firmly and asks him, "Simon of Jonah, do you love me?" "Certainly, Lord, you know that I love you," replies Peter decidedly. "Feed my lambs." "Simon of Jonah, do you love me?" "Yes, my Lord, and you know that I love you." His voice is not so bold, but he is rather surprised at the repetition of the question. "Feed my lambs." "Simon of Jonah, do you love me?" "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Peter's voice trembles as he is sure of his love, but he is under the impression that Jesus is not sure. "Feed my sheep." Your treble profession of love has cancelled your treble denial. You are completely pure, Simon of Jonah, and I say to you, put on the pontificals and take the holiness of the Lord among the flock. Fasten your clothes at your waist and keep them fastened, until from shepherd you also become lamb. I solemnly tell you that when you were young, you put on your own belt and you went where you liked. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and somebody else will put a belt around you and will take you where you would rather not go. But now it is I who say to you, gird yourself and follow me on my way. Stand up and come. Jesus stands up and Peter stands up. They walk towards the shore while the others begin to put out the fire, smothering it under the sand. But John, after picking up the remains of the bread, follows Jesus. Peter hears the shuffling of steps and turns around. He sees John, and pointing him out to Jesus, he asks, "But what will happen to him?" And Jesus says, "If I want him to stay until I come back, what does it matter to you? You are to follow me." They are on the shore. Peter would like to go on speaking, but Jesus' majesty and the words he has heard detain him. He kneels down, imitated by the others, and adores. Jesus blesses them and dismisses them. They board the boat and go away rowing. Jesus watches them go. Jesus comments to Maria Valtorta on the humility of John. He says, "Once again, it is John who, repeating the gesture made several times, recognizes the Lord in the man standing on the shore, and after sharing the food together, in Peter's question, "And what about him?" he is still the disciple, nothing else. He humbles himself in everything concerning himself. But when there is something to be said which may make the incarnate Word of God shine with a brighter and brighter divine light, then John lifts the veils. Some time later, after Pentecost, Peter is reminiscing with John about one of their last encounters with Jesus. He says, "On the shore of the lake, for three times, he ordered me to pasture his sheep and his lambs, and he prophesied that only when I am old, I will be tired and led to confess the Christ with my blood and my life. With me, the others, apostles and disciples, have equally decided we will scatter. Some will go to Samaria, some towards the Great Sea, and some towards Phoenicia, pushing on and on, to Syria, to the islands, to Greece, to the Roman Empire. If in these places darnel and Judean poison makes the fields and the vineyards of the Lord sterile, let us go elsewhere and sow other seeds in other fields and vineyards, so that there may be not only a harvest, but it may be a rich one. If in these places here the hatred of the Jews poisons the waters and infects them, so that I, a fisher of souls, and my brothers cannot catch souls for the Lord, let us go to these other waters." In the next passage, Jesus refers to the last sentence of today's Gospel passage, which is a prophecy for Peter. "Now he said this to indicate the death by which he would glorify God." And Jesus says, "The death by which he would glorify God? Children, every death is glory offered to God when it is accepted and undergone in holiness. Even if its executor is a fierce man, making himself the arbiter of the destinies of others, even if, by his adherence to Satan, his executor becomes Satan's tool to torment his fellows and be their assassin, and in doing so he is cursed by me, then death is always a final act of obedience to God." Azaria, Maria's guardian angel, speaks to Maria about a teaching of Peter in one of his epistles. "Peter became the father of peoples, the pastor, master, and helmsman of the church. But above all, he was the father, a father of most gentle and firm paternity for all the children whom his Jesus had entrusted to him with the three recommendations after those three professions of love: feed my lambs and feed my sheep." And Peter, the apostle and pastor, speaks to you, little lamb of Christ's flock. Listen. "Be prudent and watchful in prayer," he says, "but above all, have charity among you constantly, for charity covers a multitude of sins." Peter had well understood the lesson of his Lord as an adult Israelite, and he transmits it to his children and brothers who are not perfect, who need continual absolution for their faults, and who do not always have the absolver ready. For death lies in ambush in a thousand ways, and every moment may sound the roll call before the eternal judge. Here is the absolver, then love. Every sin, every omission and every imperfection, what is it but a momentary or persistent collapse of love in man? Jesus has a message for his followers in the present centuries, and particularly for Pope Pius XII during World War II. He says, "Never as in this moment must I repeat to the one who represents me, feed my lambs. From the height of the heavens, I am coming back with my word and my love to feed the poor of my flock. And I repeat to you, who are my vicar, feed my sheep by giving them the tireless word and the blessings with which I have filled your innocent hand, which knows no blood except my blood, which you elevate on the altar as a rite of propitiation. And give no gesture except that which was my own, in blessing those on whom you have mercy, as I do. I have placed two rods in your hand, and you are dear to me because you have used the rod of love. But love, which exercises power even on the power of God, falls like pebbles hurled against rock when it is directed towards some who resemble men but are demons with a heart of granite. Strike then with the other rod, and may the faithful know that you are not an accomplice to the sins of the great. Speak in the name of the justice you represent. It is time to. And may the masses know that my doctrine has not changed, and that there is one law, there is one God alone, and his first commandment is love. To speak means pain and sometimes death. But remember me. I am more precious than joy and life, for I give whoever is faithful to me a joy and a life which have no end or limit.